You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blue Moon.
Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Nigel Rothman back in the chair. And at the time of recording, City are back where they belong, top of the Premier League, after the demolition job on Bournemouth on Saturday. Five different scorers, but no Haaland, of course, and a player of the match performance by Jeremy Doku. City dominated the Ballon d'Or, and Messi won it, and Ilkay stayed in his seat. It's Young Boys on Tuesday and Chelsea on Sunday. So much to get through, such little time. And three guests, the three S's. Stato, Sarah and Spencer, welcome to all three of you. Can we start with the Ballon d'Or just kind of briefly, because it's kind of big news? I suppose first question is going to give you kind of a continuum from could not care less about the Ballon d'Or right the way through to I'm so excited a bit of Wii came out. So kind of where are we on that? So I'm going to start with you, Spencer, as you kind of smiled most at that particular line. So are you could not care less or a bit of we came out? Where are you on that line, Spencer, in terms of the Ballon d'Or before we get into the detail?
Nigel, I am so excited I could crush a grape.
Wow.
And I am actually excited about the Ballon d'Or because it is a moment, isn't it, to sort of celebrate just how bloody fantastic we have been over the last year. And I do sort of take a little bit of a vicarious pleasure in the celebrity aspect of their all.
A what? Oh, excuse me.
Pleasure.
Help our seven listeners who also don't understand that. Vicarious.
Can you spell it?
No, I don't even know what it means.
Pleasure.
Okay, good. Vicarious. Yeah. Blimey, you heard it here first. Spencer Debson on the Man City Show. Go on, keep going.
Shall I carry on? Or do you want
to get please,
your letters
please.
Out? No,
I'm feeling frisky. I'm feeling frisky tonight. So go
feeling
on, just
frisky.
Say it. Just
okay,
away.
Don't tell the wife. Okay. Yes, frame you right off there. No, I mean it's good to see them in a sort of non-footballing atmosphere. It's good to see them with their partners. It's good to see the acknowledgement and the whole way it's sort of set out. And I think it's a rightful sort of celebration of what we've done.
Okay. We'll come back to it. So Stato, are you kind of grape crushing, weeing your pants, or are you kind of really couldn't care less? Where just before we get into the detail of what happened and so on, just in terms of your view of the Ballon d'Or, just sort of get a feel before we get into the detail.
More towards I couldn't care less. I'm glad City did well. Disappointed Haaland didn't win it, but my focus is always on City winning trophies as a team. Individual honours are nice for the individual players, but they don't mean too much to me as a City supporter.
Sarah?
I think I'm somewhere in the middle, just to be the intermediate voice. I mean, I know that there's been a lot of talk about, you know, De Bruyne said it's all a fix and he, you know, doesn't take it too seriously. I think Stato's right about the emphasis on the team, not on individuals. But for me, it's a little bit like, you know, watching the Champions League back in the early noughties and thinking, I can't imagine City ever being in the Champions League, and now we just take it for granted. And so the idea of City dominating the awards in the way we did in that top 10 list and potentially having the winner of the Ballon d'Or for all its frailties and faults and, you know, fixing, I think I'd still have been pretty chuffed if we had a Ballon d'Or player playing for us.
Absolutely, because I think there were three in the top five, weren't there? I mean, it's just ridiculous to say little C, and here we are at the top table. So with all that in mind then, Stato, and knowing where you sit on that line, and let's sort of start with the team of the year, and we're kind of just the thought, Manchester City were the best team in the world last year. I mean, that's mad, isn't it? I mean, you and I go back longer than these other fresh-faced youngsters on the show this week, and it's like it's Manchester City won best team on the planet. Come on, we've got to celebrate that, whether you like it or not. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Can you believe it?
It's impressive to win it, but to win it, you have to be up there and you have to win the trophies. So winning the trophies means a lot more to me than being the best team as voted in Ballon d'Or. Yes, it's a great honour for the club, but I didn't jump around celebrating as I did when we won the league, when we won the FA Cup, or the Champions League. So, yes, very nice, but it's not quite the same to me.
And nor did Ilkay Gundogan jump up and down either. He's despite a number of City players saying, come on, Skip, you raised a number of trophies for us and you sat on your ass. So go on then, Sarah. That's obviously, we can argue it both ways. He's moved on. He's got to respect his current employer, his current team. But he was part of that team that won that trophy. Where do you sit on that one, if you pardon the sit reference one more time? He sat. Where do you sit?
I completely support him in what he did. I think nobody can question what he gave to this football club. And, you know, we're all sad to see him go, but understood his reasons for it. I think there is something about, I think it is the point you make, Nigel, around showing respect to his, you know, the idea of a City player who leaves and then running up and, or somebody joining City, but then running up on the stage to jump around with former colleagues from another team. I think I'd feel that was a little bit odd as well. So if we turned it on its head and it was a current City player who'd won something in the previous year with somebody else, I think we'd find it a little bit odd. So he only had two choices, and I would have made the choice he did.
Right choice, Spencer. You've done the same. We could argue it quite rightly, as Sarah's done, saying, hold on a minute, people would understand why he's gone up. He was the captain of that team, and therefore it's acceptable for him to be up there dancing for a couple of minutes to go back down and carry on with his new employer.
I actually think it would have been a bit odd if he got up, actually. You know, that's one phase of his life. He's now in a new phase, and for him to sort of have two hats on one evening would have been a bit odd, I honestly think. And for all those plaudits happened, you know, previously.
All right. Let's talk about the winner then before we move on to City proper. Spencer, we've got a situation here where Messi won the World Cup. So that kind of trumps everything else, doesn't it?
Well, again, so, this is one of those you can argue, but as soon as they had said that they'll take the World Cup into account, actually there was only one winner. And I know there's a lot of sort of equity and global respect for Messi, you know, and who was it who made that phrase, if Messi's playing, then he should win it, sort of thing. So that coupled with the World Cup, which was the greatest World Cup in history, really, the final, and, you know, the way that he sort of cemented his reputation as the greatest player of all time. So I think there was actually only one winner once they'd said that.
Treble winner, scored all those goals. Haaland was the natural choice, some City fans have argued, Sarah. Are you, Spencer, taking a very pragmatic, sensible, mature approach, as he always does in these things, and uses long words as well, that certainly I don't understand. Where do you sit on this one then in terms of Haaland? You kind of actually, Haaland probably should have done it, or does that World Cup trumpet for Messi?
Oh, to be pragmatic and mature, Nigel. Well, I'll be neither then. I'll leave that to Spencer, he does it so well. I think Messi's the greatest footballer, certainly that I've ever seen, and probably that has ever existed. I love Messi, so I never begrudge him anything he wins, but I think it's the wrong decision. As far as I'm concerned, the Ballon d'Or is about the best player over a period of a season. And yes, Messi helped Argentina win the World Cup. He didn't win it single-handedly.
Not far off.
Well, yeah, bit of help from Julian as well, though. You know, he's an amazing player, and I was so happy that he won. If England weren't going to win it, I was very happy that he and Argentina won it. So it was a very fitting end to his main career. I know he's still playing, but for his main career. But, you know, an award for it to have significance has to mean something. It can't just be we're dishing out the sweets at the end of the season and you're giving them to somebody just because they've got a nice smile or they brought you a nice painting in one morning. I mean, it's got to be for consistency and brilliance over the course of a season, in my view. And for that reason, Haaland should have won it.
Here we go. So we got Spencer being mature and sensible, as always, and gives it, you know what your job here is, Stato here, to do in a moment. But Spencer's given it quite rightly to Messi. Sarah has got a sky blue glasses on and she's given it to Haaland. Where do you sit?
Well, as you said, Spencer was mature. I'm therefore immature. And I would say Haaland should have got it. I just think he had a brilliant season and has been playing such fantastic. No, he scores all the goals. Messi is a brilliant footballer, don't get me wrong. He's probably past his peak now. Well, he is. He had a fantastic World Cup, but that was one tournament, whereas Haaland was doing consistently and won three trophies. If those three trophies don't count, Haaland could never win it on the basis that whenever there's a European Championship year or a World Cup year, he doesn't stand a chance because Norway won't go very far. We have had in the past a Ballon d'Or player playing for Manchester City. I'm sure you remember who it was. So I'll leave it floating there for a few moments and see if anybody can remember who that was.
So he won the Ballon d'Or whilst playing for Manchester City?
No. He played for Manchester City after he had won the Ballon d'Or.
It wasn't George Weah, was it?
George, of course. Well done. Well done, Spencer. It was George Weah. Of course it was. Well done. Excellent. Let's move on. Let's talk about more important matters then and the demolition job on Bournemouth, Sarah. 6-1. Obviously, City were hot favourites, but we're just starting to turn it on a bit, aren't we? We're starting to look a bit good, aren't we? Lost a couple of games. It's starting to click.
It is, and I'm slightly unnerved by us being top of the league this early in the season. It's not what we're used to, and it's slightly worrying. I like it when we've got a little bit of a gap to close. And I'm joking. I'd like us to be top of the league for the rest of the season. Thank you very much. I mean, look, you know, Bournemouth, you expect to win at home, but we've had one or two games at home, not so much this over the 2023, but in recent years that we probably expected to win and have either scraped something at the end or even on one or two occasions lost. I think, yeah, there's lots of rewarding elements to it, which I'm sure we'll cover in a minute, not least Doku's performance and the brilliance of Bernardo, amongst others. But, we expect to win those games. We expect to be able to add to the goal difference. And we did well, and it's exciting, and hopefully it's going to continue for a while. But we've got some tough games coming up, as I'm sure we'll discuss in this podcast and beyond.
We may not look beyond Chelsea on this podcast, but you're right. It's going to get a bit tougher. And going into this one, Spencer, as I said, it kind of had be disappointed if we didn't get the 3 points. What pleased you particularly about the performance of the weekend?
It was the all round just fabulous performance, and City seemed to be able to switch players out successfully. And these last couple of games have been wonderful. I mean, Doku, we'll come to talk about him, had just incredible game. His best game in the City shirt, definitely, after that West Ham performance where he shined at the beginning. And, you know, Grealish did do well in the Man United game, and you might have thought he might continue him and start to give him a bit of a run, but no, he switched him out. And Doku just was absolutely wonderful and a really, really exciting player to watch. Really exciting.
Just going to back to your use of words, I think you said the word shined just then. Did you mean shone? Would that be the right word in that particular situation? Not wishing to pick you up or be critical, because I'm impressed by your amazing vocabulary, but I think you said shined, and I don't think there is...
It depends on the grammatical construct, which I now can't remember, Nigel.
Oh, so it might well have been shined. Let us know. We're at City Podcast, of course, so is it shined or is it shone? But in the meantime, while you're thinking about that, here's Paul Denby with his view on the game.
I thought you were going to ask me my view of Shined and Shone, which I have none, because, as you know, I'm a numbers person, not a words person. View on the game, it was a bit of a struggle for the first 15, 20 minutes. We just didn't seem to quite get going. We had a couple of long-range efforts. They kept us at bay. But once we got going, the floodgates opened, three goals in about 7 minutes. We played really well. Docky was superb. We were on fire. No team would have stopped us in the form we were in. The teams might have set up differently to try to defend against us, but I thought 6-1 was probably a fair reflection of the difference between the two teams. And unfortunately for Bournemouth, they will be down towards the bottom end of the table if they carry on like that. It's just a matter of whether there are three worst teams in the league, and at the moment there are, but we played very well.
Spencer, let's talk about Doku then, because he really was outstanding. I think, what was it, one goal and four assists is really quite something, and his all-round contribution was just fantastic to watch.
It really was. We'll come on to talk about the individual goals, I'm sure, but I just like the variety of his play. He's a sort of classic winger. Not going to say, you know, in the sort of Peter Barnes mould, because he's not like Peter Barnes, but a player who's exciting when he's on the ball, on the wing. But then he's also capable of doing these lovely, intricate dribbles. You know, the assist for Bernardo's first goal was just beautiful. And then a really, you know, the through ball for Bernardo's second goal in the 83rd minute. And it was a quality type of ball out of, you know, on the break. And he just seems to have a really great range of skills. Is obviously his confidence is there. Is he 21, 22? He seems to have really settled in well. And I think it's great because he's now in competition with Grealish, and they both seem to be sort of galvanized by the competition and getting the most out of both of them. It's really great to see.
There's been a lot talked, actually, Stato, about this kind of competition, and some would argue that it's not competition. Pep will use them in different situations, different games, and it's not necessarily... They're different players, aren't they, as well, of course, I suppose you could argue. But a fantastic all-round performance, as Spencer rightly said.
Oh, Doctor was superb on Saturday. His all-round play, I don't need to repeat what Spencer just said, because it was superb, and his through balls and his passing and his dribbling. Back to your original point, I totally agree. Pep does not see them as rivals for a position. He'll play each individual for each game. Grealish is very good with his close control. He'll win a lot of free kicks. He might cut back inside a bit more. But he also, I think, is probably a bit better on the defensive side of his game than Doku has appeared to be. Maybe that's under instruction. Doku is fantastic at attacking. He can take the ball inside. He takes the ball outside, confuses the defender. And I think... Pep will just use each of them for different games. So I wouldn't be surprised if, despite Doku's poor assists on Saturday, that Grealish plays tomorrow night against Young Boys. It's what Pep does. So great that we've got two fantastic players to play in a similar position if we needed them.
So, Sarah, he certainly shined, or shone, take your pick, didn't he, at the weekend?
He did. Not that you're labouring the point, Nigel. He was brilliant. I mean, the guys have covered it. The one point I was going to make was that I think, if we're honest, he's probably settled in quicker than we expected him to, which is very welcome. And also, I just want to elaborate on the fact that it's not just that he got four assists and a goal. The quality of the assists is what really pleased me. I mean, you can get an assist when the ball hits you, ricochets off your backside and happens to land at something. So four assists in itself, it doesn't overly impress me. But every single one of those assists, they were not all easy passes. In fact, some of them were quite difficult passes. But the pace on the ball, the ability of the player to just step onto the ball, hit it first time, the pass to Bernardo was De Bruyne standard. Let's be honest, if he'd bit that, we'd all be going, oh, thank God, Kev. So I think that's a sign of what he's capable of. And if he's able to maintain it in the games when he plays, we've got a fantastic signing on our hands.
Spencer's just a big grin's come on his face. I think he's been Googling while we've been waiting here looking at Shined and Shone, and he's found his answer. So I'm going to have to come back to him sooner or later. I bet that's what that's about. It's not
no,
about
I'll tell you why I was smiling. I'll tell you why
go
I was
on
smiling.
Then. Go on.
Because I just thought the assist for Akanji's goal was was a little fortuitous.
Fair enough.
But that was the thing. I mean, the only other thing I was going to throw into all of this, and asked for by you, Nigel, was that we've got the best four, you know, the spread of goal scorers. We've got 28 for, 8 against, meanest defence, best attack, and a range of goal scorers as well as Haaland. So it really does, you know, it's great signs for you know, for the coming games.
Absolutely. I wasn't necessarily going to go through all the goals, but maybe Stato, one or two stood out for you particularly. We haven't talked about Bernardo in any detail. I just want to put his name out there because here's a player who for the last, I think, three seasons has been leaving City for various reasons. We've managed just to keep hold of him, and yet he's just got better and better and better. What a player.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. It was fantastic again on Saturday. And to pick out three goals, half the goals, I'd say two of them were the Bernardo's two goals. So I think Doku setting him up for the first one and Bernardo putting it into the internet brilliantly for that. I think it was our second goal that he did that one for. Then the ball from Doku for Bernardo. And Bernardo, I thought he'd taken a little bit too long and maybe had gone too far, but then the chip over and you could see it across the line from where I was. So it was clear before Nunes had put it in again. And I'd like to also pay credit to on the sixth goal, because I think Oscar Bob did brilliantly and Ake threw his everything for it to dive in and score that goal as well. So it's just a great all-round performance and we'll just have more of those for this week against Young Boys and again against Chelsea and rest of the season. If we do that, I won't be complaining.
Do you want to add anything to any of those goals, Sarah? Any context or any comments?
I think you know, Paul's picked out the key moments. I'll just echo his point about the beautiful dink from Bernardo. I mean, that is not easy to do, and I'm so glad because it also means that Doku's pass in the build-up gets the credit. You know, it's a pass that we might all have forgotten about if that had ended up with an easy save for the keeper. So I'll probably pick that one out.
Spencer, just you can comment on the goals if you like again, but if not, maybe we can just move on to a comment that Pep made at his press conference, which was he talked about something like, you know, it's the best mood in the City dressing room that he's had. Now, he's had some pretty good teams. We've won a bit of silverware. How do you respond to that? What do you think that's about? And do you see anything yourself that you would say, yeah, I can see that? How do you react to that?
I mean, I wouldn't.
The best mood.
I wouldn't ascribe too much importance to what he might say in the moment, because I'm sure we probably could dig out similar things, you know, in elsewhere in his career. But it does reflect a genuine positivity, great team spirit, and it's very evident. It's evident on the pitch. It's evident in, you know, the camaraderie at the Ballon d'Or thing. You know, they're all chipping away at each other, getting on well. It's clear that, you know, the new players, Doku we've spoken about, Gvardiol was also, I think, mentioned by Pep as well. This, you know, called out for the way he settled in. So it really is a genuine team spirit that's developing, which is all the more, all better, seeing as we had a switch out of players over the summer. They just seem to have gelled really well. And I actually don't know if, have we made the best start? I didn't really think that was, could be the case, but Stato will know. But someone said it was City's best start after 10, 11 games in recent times, maybe because we haven't drawn any games. But it really reflects the reality. It's not just words.
And you notice that as well, do you, Sarah? You can see that mood in the camp. Do you recognise that from the terraces?
I think it is an interesting comment that he's made. And I agree with Spencer. We may well look back and Pep may have said something similar in 2018 and we've all forgotten about it and now he's saying it again. But I think it's important for two reasons. One, I think it shows that the personalities, how much effort the club put into buying players whose personality, whose mental toughness, their ability to build relationships, to demonstrate respect, all those features that matter. And when we see it imploding at other clubs, let's not name any, but we can all think of an example not that far away, you realise how important it is. And therefore, I think all the players know that they've got a key role to play. I think it's also a testimony to Phillips that he's probably the one character who's most vulnerable at the moment, and yet he clearly isn't rocking the boat with his behaviour, etc. But the other reason I think it's important is because I think it shows the maturity of City as a club now, that they know they're the best team in the world, and they know, having won the Champions League, that in a way they've nothing to prove, even though they've got everything to prove, because they need to do it again and we want them to do it again. But I think there's a calmness that's come, having won the Premier League as often as they have and now getting the Champions League jinx off our backs. I think that is what is causing them to feel much more relaxed about themselves as an entity and their reputation in world football.
Stato, I've deliberately given you some time to just check out whether we've got the best mood and the best start. Can you confirm that?
We've certainly got a fantastic mood. I think we had a start a few years back where we'd only lost one game by this stage.
Points?
Points-wise, I think we've drawn one, lost one. So having lost two, I think we're not quite as... It's almost. I mean, it's a brilliant start. I mean, the Wolves game was one of those games where we didn't perform. Anyway, we are where we are. We're top of the league still as we're still recording this at the moment. So, the mood seems fantastic. I think what we have done as a club as well is bringing these new players in and rotating a few out. All right, we were all upset Gundogan left and some upset that Mahrez moved on. But maybe it was the right time and we brought in some fresh youngsters who are going to move in and take over some of those positions. I thought Kovacic had a reasonable game on Saturday as well. Bethany'd had for the previous two games. So I think the mood is great. I see Phillips still celebrating with the team. Even when we scored the goals, he's really one of the first ones to be on the edge of the pitch, jumping up and down. So good luck to him. I think we've got a great mood in that camp at the moment, and long may it last.
All right. Before we look forward to the two games in the next week, one in the Champions League and one in the Premier League, just a couple of questions via X, formerly known as Twitter. Our good friend Kim, who's regularly sort of comments and likes our posts on Twitter, so thanks, Kim, for your question. He's asked if anybody has seen Girona FC, obviously one of our sister clubs, number one in La Liga at the moment. So I'm just wondering if anybody has seen them and understands. He says they're playing just some fantastic football and part of, obviously, the City group. Anybody got a comment on that? Kim's keen for us to have a quick chat about that. Sarah, you were nodding. I'm not sure if you were falling asleep or that was you nodding in agreement with the question.
As if I could ever fall asleep in your company, Nigel. I haven't. I know that Girona are doing well. I can't say that I've seen them play. I've seen a couple of snippets either on social media. I think I saw a little bit of the game on the TV. But I think I just wanted to make the point that I think it's really indicative of how you see the influence of the City style of play and the importance of it permeating not just the clubs that belong within the City Football Group, but also if you look at what Leicester are doing. I know Vincent's struggling this year with Burnley, but what he did in the Championship last year, even to some extent what Arteta's done with Arsenal, there's a sort of a theme and a familiarity about all of this, which is testimony to the fact that we have an ethos and a way of playing and a belief in that system that permeates everything we do. And Girona are tearing it up in Spain at the moment.
Stato, you're a Girona expert.
If only. No, I haven't seen Girona. Clearly know that they're top of the La Liga. They've dropped 5 points this season, so marginally better than City. They've drawn one, lost one. The one they lost was to Real Madrid, where they got rather well beaten at home 3-0. But they are top of the league. They're the top scorers in the Spanish league at the moment. So clearly playing some great football. And as a part of the City group, I wish them well. I hope they can maintain that and pit the elite two to the title this season. Maybe they can't quite do that, but we'll see.
Spencer?
Yeah, I mean, just what Sarah and Paul have said. I mean, it would be great to understand, and I just don't know about, the management and the philosophy, but you'd imagine it sort of permeates down from the top and that all of the City Group clubs, I think there's about 11, 12 of them, isn't there, around the world, have got the sort of same type of philosophy. But it's an incredible start. It'll be interesting to see, how they maintain it.
So thanks, Kim, for that. I hope that helps. And my good friend Blue and Proud, as he calls himself, I know who you are, has also asked a question based on what you just said, actually, Sarah. You mentioned Arteta. And his question is it time to start touting Arteta as Pep's replacement? Is the question from our good friend Blue and Proud.
Shall I answer that?
Yeah, please, Sarah, yeah.
I don't want Arteta to be Pep's replacement. I think he deserves credit for what he's done with Arsenal, because they were in a mess when he arrived and he got a lot of stick for the first season he was there. So I don't think he's a bad manager, but I cannot abide the way he behaves. I thought the outburst at the weekend was shocking. And so we can all do that if we want to pick a decision that was gone against us, some clubs more than others, and I'm not necessarily talking about City. And his petulance and his, you know, I know it gets described as passion, and passion is never a bad thing, but I think, I know Pep's not everybody's cup of tea, but I think largely Pep conducts himself with decorum and professionalism and makes me proud that he's the manager of our football team, and I wouldn't feel like that about Arteta.
It can be a bit abrupt and a bit negative with journalists, can't you? So you can pick and choose what each of these managers do. I mean, Arteta tends to be a little bit more civil and a bit more friendly with those journalists once they stick a mic under his nose. And yes, he's had a bit of an outburst, but they're playing good football. They kind of came second last year. They're looking good again this season. He's playing Pep's type, trying to play Pep's type of football. He must be in contention, surely.
Well, he might be.
I'm going back to you.
Well, he may be, and maybe if he comes and we carry on playing amazing football, you'll play this episode of the podcast back to me and make me hang my head in shame, Nigel. I know you're prone to that kind of behaviour, but there are all those clips of when he was assistant to Pep and he never jumped up and down or showed any pleasure if we scored against Arsenal. That's where his heart is. That's fine. No problem with that at all. And I'm not suggesting for a minute that the next manager has to have his heart in Manchester City. Pep didn't, but even though I think it's there now. So it's, but I just don't want him. And sometimes these things are very subjective. We have people we want to, people we respect and we like, and some people who, you know, and just not our cup of tea. And Arteta is not my cup of tea, certainly as manager of City.
Okay, I think you're being a little bit unkind. I don't tend to harp back on things that people say anyway. So Spencer, He shined, didn't he, as Pep's number two, of course.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Sorry, I forget.
I think we'd all forgotten about that, actually.
No, but he doesn't heart back, Spencer, so you're
all right. No, 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 I mean, you know, he doesn't. put me off quite again. Right? Moments of...
Right, Stato, Spencer's going to have a lie down for 5 minutes. Arteta, he's the natural replacement, our friend Blue and Proud tells us, or asks the question.
He potentially is, but I don't like his attitude. He comes out as a bit petulant, as Sarah said, a bit spoiled. And his transfers, people have questioned them. I don't understand why I bought Raya. Ramsdale was had a very good season last. Why waste all that money on a second very good goalkeeper that's pushed Ramsdale out? And $65 million on Kai Havertz as a striker who is at best is going to get you 15 goals in the season if you're lucky. So I don't quite understand why I spent so much money there. So I've got my doubts.
Okay, Spencer, do you want to have another go? I promise to be quiet and I'll let you go, starting now.
Well, it's pure speculation, isn't it? I mean, you don't sense that he has ultimately, you know, the presence and gravitas. But then again, he's still a young manager. And I'm sure one fine day he will win, whether it be the Premier League or more. I'm not that a fan, particularly a fan of Arteta. He's good, and he'll be in contention, I would have thought, because, you know, much as we want Pep to be staying forevermore, we're all thinking, you know, two summers from now probably will be the time when he'll ultimately move on.
All right, Stato, let's talk about City can qualify for the 11th successive season to the knockout stages of the Champions League with a win against Young Boys on Tuesday night.
They can, you're right, and they will. I think even the draw is good enough, but I expect them to win because we're better than them and we'll play a reasonable team, and I expect our 4-3-1 win.
Okay. Spencer?
Not much more to add. We've clearly got enough firepower. We haven't really got injuries. I think Haaland's
ankle.
Haaland's, is he a niggle or is he definitely out? But
he's a doubt, I think they call it.
yeah, definitely out. I mean, this is interesting, isn't it? We've weathered being without KDB all these many months. But once we've got sort of Rodri, and I think actually Rodri and Stones, that's the way I think of it now, as a sort of the core of our team, with the defenders, etc. We go well. So I think we'll have more than enough for this game on Tuesday.
And the guys are right, aren't they, Sarah? You know, we've no KDB. Haaland's a doubt. He may not risk him, knowing that we've probably got enough in the squad without him. We don't seem to be worried too much about it, do we? We still feel pretty confident going into this fixture that we're going to come out with a win.
I'll be very, very shocked if we don't win tomorrow. For the reasons the guys have said. I think I said it last time I was on the podcast that we want to qualify as quickly as possible. Then those final two games, we can make whatever decisions we need to about who plays, who doesn't play, who needs a rest. And hopefully after tomorrow evening, that's the position we'll be in.
Let's talk then finally about Chelsea then at the weekend. I think it's obviously away at Stamford Bridge, 4:30 kickoff on Sunday. Spencer, they've struggled a bit this year, as we know, languishing kind of almost mid-table. They're obviously playing as we're recording, actually, on Monday evening, so we're not sure how that will end. But even so, how do you see kind of how maybe Pep might line up, the sort of the way the game might go and the sort of challenge that Chelsea might present?
I mean, I'm surprised at the relative underperformance of Chelsea. I mean, we know the sort of disarray up top, but, you know, they've had Pochettino there now for some months. I thought it would have settled down. I do sort of have a residual concern that they're going to come good in one or two games and really start to flow. But obviously it didn't happen last weekend. And so we would imagine that we will have too much for them. But I just think, Stamford Bridge is never an easy place. We've had quite a good record there, haven't we? Can't remember last season, the season before we won. I think we'll win, but I think it'll be relatively tight. And I think Chelsea, they're due for some sort of unexpectedly good performance. And I just hope it's not on, next week.
How do you see it, Stato?
With a better team, if we turn up and perform as we have done in the last couple of games or so, we win. We've got to be wary of them. They're pacey attack. We've got a couple of ex-City players, of course, amongst their ranks. So we'll see what Cole Palmer and Raheem Sterling can do for them. But if we play to our form, we are the better team. So I'd expect to come away with a win.
And in terms of lineup, in terms of changes, what do you expect? So obviously Haaland is, as I said, a doubt. He's either going to play because he's fit or he won't. And we've got different ways of we could sort of set ourselves up. But in terms of other changes, is this that, for example, talking about what we talked about before, is this a Doku type of game or a Grealish type of game? And any other changes you expect?
I guess it depends who he plays tomorrow night. I wouldn't be surprised if Grealish played against Chelsea, because he might have more defensive duties, and I think he's better set up as a defensive attacker, if that makes sense, than Doku is. So it depends who he plays and how he alternates players. And then will Haaland be fit? That's crucial as well, because he could push Foden further forward, as he did when he brought him on as a substitute behind Alvarez. So he's got options. We've got a strong bench at the moment, even if De Bruyne and if Haaland are still out as well at the weekend. So I'm not Pep. I won't second guess who he's going to play. He's got good options to play across the board, and whoever we put out there, I would expect should be good enough to win.
How do you see it, Sarah?
I agree with Paul. I mean, we are the better team, and we if we play well and we get the tactics right, we hopefully will get a narrow victory. It won't be a massive victory. I'd be surprised if it was. So I feel reasonably optimistic, although I did see when Chelsea played Arsenal recently, and until they had the implosion in the last 10 minutes and gifted them one goal and then let in a very late equaliser, Chelsea played really well in that game. So I certainly don't feel complacent about it, despite their position in the league. You've got all the subplots, as Paul says, with regards to Palmer and Sterling. And Pochettino kind of needs his... I always think with somebody like Pochettino and a new manager and a very new squad, every week they're going to get better. So they're 2 weeks on now from when they played Arsenal, and they played pretty well in that game. So I think we should expect a decent game out of them. Got one or two players back from injury as well. But the final point I make is that, with the exception of Liverpool, none of these other top sides have got what you'd call a clinical, I'll avoid using the word world-class, but a clinical top-level striker. And that's true for Chelsea, as it's true for Tottenham, as it's true for Arsenal. So let's hope for Haaland's fit. But I've also got a lot of... I think Alvarez is a top-level striker, so even if he's not, I'll be perfectly happy with Alvarez playing up front. He's better than anything Chelsea have got.
So based on that hat-trick for Cole Palmer coming, I hope that's not the case. I want to thank my three guests, to Stato Paul Denby, to Sarah Messenger, and Dictionary Corner Spencer Debson. This is Nigel Rothband saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all very soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.